The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle @SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
It's good to see you. Y'all are the first group of 2018. It's not really 2018, but we start early. So we have officially started our new year. So that makes y'all the first group to come this year. And, hey, Harry, you back there? When are we at? Did we hit 100,000 with this bunch?
Next week.
Yep. So we're like, with these guys, we're in the history of Snowbird, 20 years. We've been here 20 years. We are like 99,900 or 700 and something. So y'all are like, so I thought it was going to be y'all that would hit 100,000. But it's still really cool that y'all are here. All right, so we'll hit 100,000 next week. So turn in your Bible to Jude. It's a teeny little book right at the back of your Bible. It's right in front of the book of Revelation. Most kids know about the book of Revelation. For some reason, okay, if you're a teenager and you've ever read any part of the book of Revelation, raise your hand. Okay, that's what I figured. Kids are sort of intrigued with Revelation. It's kind of freaky if you've never read it. If you read it, it's kind of like part Harry Potter, part horror film. Like it's just a lot of crazy imagery and Star Wars. Throw some Star Wars in there. Any of you that are like into Star Wars, and that's big right now with the new movie out. So Revelation is kind of a hard book to follow. Jude is not quite as difficult to figure out, and especially the two verses that we're going to be looking at tonight and tomorrow. And so we're going to look at the last two verses. Jude is only one chapter. So I don't have to say Jude chapter of so-and-so. It's just Jude verses 24 and 25. That's where we're going to be, okay? So if you'll go there, I'm going to read these two verses. This is the word of the Lord. This is God's word. Here's what it says. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, please help us understand your word tonight. Help us respond to it and obey it. Your word is living and active, and it has all authority for our lives. It is sufficient, and the way that you've given it to us is exactly what you intend for us to receive. So please help us to open our hearts and minds. God, I ask right now for your strength and your help, your guidance to say only what you would have me to say and to help me to be able to stand on these two feet and to speak the word of God with clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you something that I've seen over the last about 25 years of being in student ministry. I've been in student ministry for a long time. And something that I see happen a lot, and this was happening when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s. It's a long time ago. Okay, that was in the last century. All right, so that was a long time ago. And it's this. A lot of young people struggle with, there's a big word that I want you to, if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. A lot of young people struggle with assurance. Assurance. They struggle with knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are in a relationship with Jesus. I talk to young people all the time and they say things like this. I feel like I need to rededicate my life. I feel like I need to recommit my life. Or sometimes a kid will say, I feel like I need to get saved again. Well, that's a statement you don't ever have to make. Because what we're going to see in the Bible tonight is that salvation is a work of God, and he is able to keep that which he saves. And so if your salvation rests on the finished work of Jesus, whereby he went to the cross, was nailed there on purpose, he was in control, he was in command, he was not a victim, he was the boss man while he hung on the cross. Hanging there, he was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all gods, and he died on purpose so that he could save you and me, and so that he could be 100% confident and sure of your salvation. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. Doubt is something that plagues a lot of young people. And I want to help you tonight by looking at Jesus from the beginning of history. The focal point of our weekend is Jesus in the Old Testament. All the way back from Genesis. And the Bible actually says even before time began, Jesus was in control. And when he saves us, he saves us out of our sin and our brokenness. And he's the one that does the saving. So he's the one that does the protecting. Now I want to do an illustration, okay? I want to do a little illustration for you. Based on the first part of the first sentence that says, now to him who is able, big word able, everybody say able, able, okay? He's able to keep you from stumbling. All right, now this doesn't mean that as a Christian, you're not going to fall flat on your face sometimes. The word stumble here means fall down, don't get up. Some of us are naturally quitters. Some of us are quitters. Some people are naturally bent to, like, they just quit easy. Some of you, you ain't got no quit in you. You're like a bulldog. Like you, some of you, like I got a kid, I got a little boy, he's five. I got five kids. I got a little boy, he's 5 years old. And when we got him, we adopted him, he was starving to death. Literally, he was dying of starvation. He was malnourished, he had a big swollen belly, had flies all over his face. We took him out of a slum village in the middle of East Africa. And I'm going to tell you something. That kid has got life in him now. And he's got an engine that will not stop. And sometimes I watch him and I think, I want to be that kind of Christian. Now that sucker today, we're at my mama's house. My mama's got wood floors and they are so slick. And I get all my nieces and nephews. I'm the oldest of eight. There's 20 nieces and nephews. And I get them suckers and I grab them like this and I throw them as hard as I can. They'll be wearing like sweatpants or their PJs, because everybody stayed over at Grammy's house Christmas night. And I'll throw them as hard as I can, and they will slide and spin all the way across that floor. Wah! It's like an amusement park, right? But what inevitably happens, and Zach, the worship pastor, the song preacher, I like to call him here, he's my brother-in-law, and his little girl, Ella, she came running. She was trucking through there. She's about this tall. She got curly little curls, like curls forever. Like they just keep going. And she come running through there. She loves me. My name's Brody. She called me Uncle Brody. She come running through there. Uncle Brody, Uncle Brody. And her feet went straight out from under her on that slick floor. And she pile drive, bam, right on her face. Popped a knot on her head right here, the size of a golf ball. All the women were like, ah. Except for my mama. She raised eight kids. She was like, it ain't no big thing. Ain't no big deal. And there's a little blood pooling up in there. That's the way God made it to work, all right? But in just a minute, you know what? And that kid was squalling. Wah! It was actually pretty funny because she was carrying a cup of water. And when she hit, the water went up in the air. She hit on her face, bam, and rolled over. And the water went right in her face. Y'all, I have this disease, this sickness, this mental illness where I laugh at people when they fall. Anybody else got that disease? Okay, y'all are sick people, sick and twisted people. Okay, so I'm laughing. I'm like trying not to laugh, you know. In a minute, here comes Moses. That's my little boy. Here comes Moses. He comes barreling through there, and then feet go right off from under him. Now, good parents would stop and teach their kids at this point to put on some shoes with some traction. No good parents in my family. We're like, this is cheap, trashy entertainment right here. And we watch kids wreck all night long. Bah, they're running into cabinets and flipping over the chair. And I'm like, hey, why don't you take your shoes off if you're going to run in the house? Because I want to watch them wipe out, you know. But here's what I found to be true about little kids. Little kids don't understand. Like when they get hurt, they got a short attention span and they forget that they're hurt pretty quick. And in a minute, here come little Ella, like look like a unicorn with that thing. And she, wah, she comes trucking through there and she slid like this and somebody caught her. And I thought, that kid, she don't even remember that she ate it a while ago, you know? And I think as Christians, more of us should, like the Bible talks about having childlike faith. As a Christian, you need to toughen up and know that you are going to fall flat on your face sometimes. And I'm talking to Christians right now. If you ain't a Christian, listen in. It's a family conversation. We welcome you. And we're going to explain to you how you can be a Christian before this thing's over. But for you who are Christians, who are like you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you're going to eat it some days. You're going to face plant spiritually. But to him who is able to keep you from staying down, that's another way to put that. God has wired you as a child of God to get up when you fall flat on your face. To get up when you fail miserably in a spiritual life. And he's the one that saved you, and he's the one that's going to protect you. So the safest place you can ever be is right behind the leadership of the Holy Spirit, right behind Jesus, walking with Jesus, following Jesus. You walk with Jesus, when you fall down, he's going to be like, whoop, he's going to grab you and pull you right up. Because he's able to keep you from stumbling. I remember a story that I've told a lot of times when one of my daughters was younger. She was probably, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, something like that. We were walking and it was dark. We left a restaurant, just the two of us. I travel and speak a lot, and I was on the road, and we were in a city, and we're walking down a pretty dark street and trying to find our car or our hotel, and it was kind of a sketchy part of town. And I said, "You a little bit freaked out right now?" She said, "No, not really." And I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Because I'm with you." I was like, that make you feel good as a daddy, you know? And I said, "What would you do if somebody like came after you right now?" And she said, "Oh, I would get behind you." Well, that's a good that's a good place to be, right? It's a good place to be. I need a teeny tiny volunteer. Sorry, you're like, get off of me, man. Are you cool? No, I got one. I saw little man and he dove under. Come on, Sawyer. Hey, Mo, that's my boy Mo. Come on, boy. Look at him. He's crazy. Come on, Sawyer. Hey, man, say hey to everybody.
Hey.
This Sawyer, shake his hand. Say, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Tell him your name.
Moses.
All right, now watch this. Sawyer and Moses and me are walking down the street. Okay? Now, I represent Jesus, okay, just in the story. And Sawyer here represents me, and Moses here represents you. All right? Now, what happens is there's danger. Now, watch this. Y'all get behind me, Mo. Get behind me, Sawyer. Y'all get behind me like this. Okay. I dare somebody to mess with Sawyer and Moses right now. I will jack somebody up. You feel me? And I carry a Glock. I carry two Glocks most days. You can't even see Sawyer and Moses right now. Hey, Sawyer, you feel safe?
Yes.
Moses, you feel safe?
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you something. If somebody messed with you, what would Daddy do?
Kill him.
Kill him. That's good parenting. Thanks, Sawyer. Appreciate it. Good job. You go sit down. All right, dude, grab your hat. Okay, you going to jump? Go for it. Go for it. All right. All right. Now, you going to go back down with Julie? All right, man. Peace out. I told y'all, he's crazy. Okay, now, watch this. Everybody look this way. Look this way. If we're in a situation where, like, if there was a legitimate threat, let's say it was a dog, you know, we're walking down the road and a dog came out. Or let's say that someone legitimately wanted to hurt Sawyer or Moses. I'm going to stand in front of them and I'm going to protect them. You need to start seeing Jesus that way in your life. Like he stands before you. But it's even better because the Bible says he comes behind you. And there's a scene, we're going to talk about Jesus in the Old Testament. There's a scene in the Old Testament, which was, the Old Testament just simply means the part of the Bible that tells the story of history before Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago. Starts about 6,000, 7,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago, something like that, and goes up to a few hundred years before the time of Jesus. And there's a story that where these people were out in the middle of the wilderness, and they had no way to know where to go. They're lost. There's a big group of people called the Israelites, and Jesus gets in front of them and he gets behind them because he can do that.
Right.
And he shields them in on every side. And a lot of you live your life wrought, struggled, beat down, beat up, running the ground with doubt. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a Savior who has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And he thinks you're a big deal. He loves you individually. He has fought the greatest enemies that you could ever imagine. Sin and the flesh and hell and the grave and Satan himself have fallen to the victory of Jesus, the King of Kings. And he goes before you. And young people deal with all the time. I see this all the time. They struggle with doubt. And it's because they don't know this sentence. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and staying down. Just get with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. You know what? Some of you got daddy wounds. Some of you got deep daddy wounds. and you struggle. You struggle to find validation and love and acceptance from people. And sometimes you're willing to compromise your own integrity, to compromise your own testimony, to compromise your own relationship with Jesus, because you'll compromise those things because you've been wounded inside and you're looking for somebody to patch and heal that wound. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, tells us who can heal those wounds. It's Jesus. Jesus loves you. He thinks you're a big deal. He cares about you. All of history from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Until right now, God has been for you and never against you. That right there will take doubt and put it on a top shelf, out of reach. I want to tell you something else about doubt. Doubt is not the same thing as unbelief. When a person's struggling with doubt, it doesn't mean they've lost faith. It means faith is under attack. My 12 and 13 year olds, did that make sense? Let me say it again, okay? I try to teach this in a way that I want to make sure you middle schoolers get it, okay? You know what it means to doubt. What we're talking about is doubting your salvation, like feeling insecure in your salvation. Like, am I really saved? Am I really going to go to heaven? Can I really trust Jesus? Can I put my faith in God? And when you're doubting that and you're struggling with doubt, it doesn't mean you've quit believing. It means that your faith is at war and fighting. And what you need to remind yourself of is Jude 24. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able. Let me tell you a few things about Jesus that we learn in the Bible. The first thing is this: Jesus is able because He has the authority to keep you from stumbling. He has the authority. You know what authority is, right? Let me tell you something. I'll be driving down the road and I don't have cruise control on my truck. And cruise control is a good thing for me. It keeps me from speeding. Y'all know what cruise control is? It's this magical little button. You start driving down the road, you'd be trucking along like this, and you're going, oh, speed limit 65. So you get it up there to about 72 and you hit cruise. And then what that means is, watch this, you take your foot off the gas, it's like autopilot. You still got to drive the wheel. Don't take your hands off the wheel. The car ain't that smart. Y'all see that? Did y'all see that YouTube video? That dude was, they're testing this car that's supposed to have like a brain in it where it'll stop before it runs into something. And that, you see that? And that engineer, it's like the German engineer, he's out there, he's going to show off. He's like standing, he designed this thing. He's like, yeah, watch this. And they hit the car and it's supposed to like sense him and stop. That thing trucks him, man. It cuts him like 7 flips in there. I tell y'all what I do when I see somebody fall, you know? I was like, I replay. That was funny. Like, cruise control is good because cruise control lets me take my foot off the gas, but I still got some responsibility here, right? Like, when you're walking with Jesus, when you're riding with Jesus, when you're in a relationship with Jesus, He has authority, and there's a part of this thing where Jesus is the one moving this thing forward, but you've got a responsibility. You've got in your Christian life, you've got some driving to do. You got to pay attention to road signs and hazards, and you got to look. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus has authority. So the reason He can keep you from stumbling is because He has the authority to do that. He has the authority to do that. Go back to the driving illustration. If I'm driving down the road and I look in the rearview mirror and I see blue lights, first thing I think is, uh-oh, this is going to cost money because tickets cost money. But you know what I do? I just get over. And I've been blessed, man. I have not gotten a speeding ticket. I'm like, Jesus, please don't let me jinx myself right now. I ain't got a speeding ticket in years. But like a lot of times you see a state trooper, he's coming up behind you, and you get this feeling. Like, did I do something wrong? Is he coming after me? Bad boys, I hear that song playing, you know, like, and then I'm just praying, Jesus, please let him go. I'll be on the phone. I'm one track mind. Some of y'all are like this. I'll be on the phone talking, and I'll be talking to somebody. This happens all the time. I see a state trooper coming or a sheriff's deputy or something. I see him coming. I'm like, I got to go. And I just hang up, man. I hang right up on him. It doesn't matter if it's the president of the United States. I'm hanging up if the police are behind me. And then he kind of cruises on by. He's like, whoo, whoo, Why? Because they represent authority. What do they have the authority to do? Throw your hind end in jail. That's what they got the authority to do if you're breaking the law. Write you a ticket, pull you over. The authority that Jesus has is greater than any authority that any man in any position could ever have. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that literally Jesus holds everything in place. He holds, so like every king, every prime minister, every president will rise to power, live, and die. And Jesus will still just be sitting on his throne like, what's up? I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I was in charge like about 1,000 years ago. I was in charge like about 10,000 years ago. And I was the boss like 1,000,000 years ago when nothing existed except me, God, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in all authority rule and reign and govern over all that there is. Jesus has authority. And he even tells us at one point, the authority I have comes from God the Father. Because he and the Father are one. So he has authority. All authority belongs to Jesus. We look back through the Bible starting in Genesis chapter 1 and we study it. We know all authority belongs to Jesus. From the very first of creation in the Old Testament, we see God's authority on display through Christ in the fact that Satan himself, who was an angel, rebelled against Jesus and Jesus grabbed him and threw him straight out of heaven and built a place called hell where he'll spend eternity. Why? Because he can. Because he has the authority to do that. We continue reading through the Bible, and here's what we find is a group of men who build a tower. They build this tower. It's called the Tower of Babel. Y'all ever heard about it? They build this tower. They're going to build a tower up to God. It's comical. It is really comical. I mean, in 1969, we put a man on the moon. And God was probably like, oh, that's nice. That cute little like, whoop, whoop. You went from right there to whoop, whoop, but right there, that's not. Hey, good job. Good job, humanity. And those cats in Genesis were going to build a tower to God. And God said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that because he had the authority to stop them from doing that. Even if they would have had the physical ability to do it, he put a stop to it. A few thousand years later, a man comes along named Pharaoh. He's a king of Egypt. It's the first real world power that we see in history. And he oppresses God's people. God has raised up a group of people called the Israelites. They're God's chosen race. And they're not just one nation as far as ethnic. You know what I mean by ethnic? My home is a multi-ethnic home. Like it's a lot of diversity in under my roof. But a lot of us maybe, like when you think about ethnicity, think about God has created humanity with diversity, right? And so the Jewish people, they reflected that. You had Jews who had been born into the Jewish faith, like into the Jewish family or the Jewish nation. But then you had Jews from Africa, Asia. You had Jews from what is modern day Europe. People had grafted into. So you had this big nation of people who by their faith and their trust and some of them by their national identity were God's chosen people. And this king rises up and he says, I'm going to oppress these people. I'm going to make them slaves. And God frees them from that slavery. And that king comes against them. And God puts a stop to him and destroys his whole army. Why? Because he has the authority to do that. He has the authority to. Listen, young people, here's what I want you to get tonight in this first point. We're going to keep digging through this text as we go throughout the week. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, Jesus is able to keep you from stumbling because from the foundation of the world, he's been holding it all in place. He put breath in your lungs. He made your brain work the way it does. He gifted you the way he gifted you. He made you a certain height. Some of you are like, man, I got gypped on that deal. He made you how he wanted you to be. Your skin color, your skin pigment. It's funny. We got in my house, we've got one of my daughters has got really fair white skin. Really, really, really fair. And we were doing this thing the other night, all like about five of the people in my family, I was just kind of watching, but my girls and my son, like they're all like comparing skin tone. And then my 8-year-old daughter, Juju, she is extremely dark, like dark, 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 dark. And she also comes from East Africa. And she said, oh yeah, watch this. Boom, I win. And we're talking about like, The fact that God does everything according to his good pleasure, even in the way he weaves and builds the fabric of humanity. He created space and universes. They say, scientists will now tell us that there are more stars in depth beyond what we can see, that the number of stars that are out there are greater than the number of grains of sand on the sea, like on the beaches, all the beaches of the world. Why? Because he has the authority to do that. One question before you go to share group tonight is this. A God with that kind of authority, and you're going to negotiate what the relationship between you and him is going to look like? Well, I want to go to heaven, so I'll say the prayer, and me and you, Jesus, we'll work it out. You ain't going to work nothing out except get on your knee and submit your life to Jesus. You want to kick doubt in the teeth? Obey and worship Jesus. Because now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. The reason a lot of us struggle with doubt so much is because we're trying to be in control of our own life and our own destiny. But Jesus is the boss. He's the king. And the ultimate and final act of his authority was when he was physically, clinically, stone cold, graveyard dead under a rock. And he was like, nope, game over. I'm not going to do this anymore. And he walked out. If he has the authority over death, he has the authority over your life. And let me add this one thing. Whether you submit to it or not, he has the authority over your life. The fact that our hearts beat and oxygen is breathed into our lungs and that the world we live in is the perfect environment for us to exist is all a reality of the authority of Jesus. Now to him who is able. If Jesus proved anything in history, young people, it's that he's able to be your God, your King, your Savior, your Lord, your Master. And tonight, I want you to start to wrestle with, what's that look like for you? Is it like, yeah, man, I get it, and I'm worshiping Jesus, and I'm walking with Jesus, and I'm getting behind him when it gets ugly, and I'm staying right with him. I'm in step. I don't always do it perfectly, but I'm walking with Jesus. Some of you, you're there. So pour fuel on the fire this week and grow. Some of you, you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but man, I ain't gonna lie. It's a joke. My faith is a joke. I don't even know what I've been doing. Like, get real with Jesus. He has the authority to save you. He has the authority to keep you. He also has the authority to jerk a knot in your rear end when you get out of line. Because he loves you and he'll do it. Walk with Christ. And for those of you who don't have relationship with Jesus, let me say this tonight. Let me tell you what the Bible says, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved from your sin, from eternal death and damnation, from hell. Be saved. We offer you that tonight. And the last category would be this. Some of you, because you've been so wounded by people you should have trusted in life, it's real hard to trust Jesus. Because trust is a deal for you. It's an issue for you. And what I will say to you is this. He is trustworthy. Beyond anything you can imagine, he is trustworthy. He will never fail you, never let you down, never turn his back on you. His love is eternal, never ending. It is motivated by his own goodness and holiness and righteousness and glory. And he's going to give all of that to you. And it's a good love. He won't let you down. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now to him who is able. Everybody say able. Able. He's able to keep you. He loves you. He thinks you're a big deal. Amen? Let me pray and I'll give you some directions. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you first loved us. And we thank you that you're able to save us and that you're able to keep us. I thank you that you're the author and the authority of this word that we've studied tonight. You put this sentence in there. You put it in there for your glory and for our good. And I pray that these students would grasp it tonight and follow you and believe it and worship you because you're worthy of worship and praise and honor. God, I pray for kids here tonight that are struggling with doubt. They want to follow you. They want to obey you, but they don't understand fully that you're able to protect and guard and shield. God, I pray for kids here tonight that have hard hearts. They're rebellious and they hate the very truth that I'm preaching tonight because they don't like the idea of you in authority. I pray that you'd break down their defenses
and draw them to yourself. God, I pray for young people here tonight that are walking with you, and they need fuel in their tank to go strong, to go hard. They're halfway through the school year, and they needed this break. God, I pray you give them what they need and get them ready for the next semester. Thank you for this season where we celebrate you coming into this world. Help us tonight to put that to practical use in our lives, that knowledge, that truth, that reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.